it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. My ministry typically takes me around the world, and that has not happened. My last trip was to Africa, which was last January, December and January. I was in Africa during the Christmas season and the holiday season. And when we came back, I got violently sick. So did my mother, who traveled with me. And the whole world fell apart. And we have not been in churches. I've been in my family room, which I turned into a little studio, and been doing Zoom meetings around the world. I must confess, I miss being with God's people, face to face. Amen. And however, I don't miss the jet lag. And if you've traveled internationally, that can really tear you up. So that's been nice. I have to get up sometimes at 1 or 2 a.m. and speak for the other side of the world, but that's a lot easier than hopping on those aircraft. I'm looking forward to where perhaps sometime soon in heaven and or the earth made new that we'll be able to travel at the speed of light or faster. I'm glad to be here this morning. My wife sends her greetings. She'd love to have been with us, but she's struggling with health issues, and she has for the last 13 years. And she's praying for you, and she's praying for me. And if you would, if you think about my wife, her name is Kobe, if you would pray for her, that we find some wisdom and guidance and leading, I'd certainly appreciate that. This morning, it's my distinct privilege to share with you a message taken from our 12-hour seminar on music. It's entitled The Distraction Dilemma, Exposing the Dangers in Music That Distract the Christian from His Maker. And there are distractions in music. There's distractions in any art form, any entertainment form as well. But they can also be used for good. We can use music to preach the gospel even, and to encourage and edify God's people. But not all music is, I believe, approved of by God. I do not believe that God has created or led in the creation of all the music on this planet. Does anybody happen to agree? That's right. Amen. And just because we put a 9-letter word in front of that Christian music doesn't necessarily make it Christian music. But the devil's figured out that if you just put that little 9-letter word in front of it, a lot of God's people are distracted by this music, and it doesn't draw them closer to the Lord, but distracts them from their Maker. So this particular message is entitled Opus, Identifying the Mind's Mark. And opus actually is a musical term. It means a large work. It's kind of almost like this in the music world, this idea of like almost the highest level you can attain when you create your opus. And when I think about the human mind, I think, what an opus. God put within us this incredible machine, if you will. And I'm not talking about just the brain. The brain is mysterious. It's incredible. Science is just starting to dig into it and not even understanding exactly how the brain still works. But beyond the brain is the mind. How do we have consciousness? How do we love? How do we interact with one another? How do we have morals and convictions? How is their consciousness? Science does not even, can't even begin to understand this. And when I think about music, I think about our musical God. Did you know that we're told that God sings himself over every repentant soul? Amen. I believe when God created the universe and created the planet that we live on, I wonder, it says God spoke. But does that mean maybe he only spoke, or did he have some fun with it, and was he singing us into existence? I don't know. But what I want to do when we start, this message here this morning is a foundational message. And what I want to do is I want to put even the music choices that we actually partake in and the decision that we make when it comes to music, I want to put it in the scope of the great controversy. Because there is a cosmic battle going on for you and for me, for our souls. On one side, we have God. On the other, we have Satan. I want to put music into the context of the great controversy. There's a cosmic battle going on for you and for me, for our souls. On one side, we have God the Father, the Godhead, and we have on the other side Lucifer or Satan and his cronies, his fallen angels. And both sides want your soul. God wants you for eternity. And the devil wants you and wants you to be destroyed for eternity. Look at the screen here with me. Both sides are at war for your soul and for your choice. And God wants our willing love and worship. He doesn't want to force us to love him. He wants us to willingly love and choose to worship him. Satan, on the other hand, he'll take our willing worship. In fact, there are people that openly worship Satan, but many more are ignorantly worshiping him. They don't realize that they are giving him worship by the way that they engage in their life or engage in the worship service, even in their churches. God wants our minds to be fully intact and aware. He doesn't want to trick us. He doesn't want to hypnotize us. He doesn't want to create a brain state where he just gives us information and it just changes us. No, the will is never taken away with God. However, Satan wants our minds short-circuited and blinded. He doesn't want us to know who he is. He doesn't want us to know what he's all about. He wants to trick us and dupe us. On one side, God says, yes, I want your soul, but you get to choose. On the other side, the devil's like, if you don't choose God, you're defaulting to me. It's almost like the deck is stacked against us. God wants us to make informed decisions based on the evidence of his love. He doesn't expect us to just believe blindly. He gives us his word. He gives us an experience with the Holy Spirit. He will impact our minds with that still small voice if we let him. He wants us to be thinking. Come, let us reason together, he says. Satan wants us to make emotional decisions based on what we think is our own happiness. And something I learned quite young was that don't trust your emotions. Emotions are not a bad thing, just don't always trust them. Because sometimes you might feel like doing this, and maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Amen? You can't go by your feelings because they can deceive you. That's why God said, come and let us reason together. He didn't say, come and let us feel together. God wants us to know who he is and what he stands for. That's why he gave us his word. This is why he has created an environment in the church, in the world, where we can hear testimonies and we can hear what God has done in other people's lives. So it's not just this thing in a book that happened way back then, but it's dynamic, and the Bible's being written today. The Acts of the Apostles didn't stop back then. They're still happening today. Amen. And so he wants us to know who he is and what he stands for, what his character is like, how he's helped other people in the past. But the devil, oh, he wants to mask who he is and what he stands for. I think of it this way. Most of his entertainment, well, not most, all of the devil's entertainment is at best candy-coated poison. So there's this war going on out there for our souls. God on one side, who wants us to choose, and he will embrace that choice when we choose him, and he will give us everything we need to be overcomers, to even have joy in the midst of great trials. But there's a war going on inside of each one of us. Yes, the war is out there. But the war, my friends, is in here as well. More specifically, right here. The battle is for the mind. This is who we are. And so I use this to illustrate to young people that think of it this way. there's this mean animal, this mean dog, or we'll call it a carnal dog, if you will, and bear with me for a moment, and he's fighting against this spiritual dog. And that's what's going on inside of us. And if you've ever seen a dog fight, it's a vicious thing, it's a scary thing. My dog, when I was growing up, he just liked to go and pick fights with anybody. He was a punk. And dog fights are terrifying things. But inside of us, there is a dogfight. We have the carnal man who's sold under sin, who likes the things of the world, the fallen things. And there's a spiritual man, once he wakes up by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who will now war against the carnal because the new man wants different things. Indeed, needs different things. Amen. So there's this battle going on inside of us. And here's the key point. Whichever one gets fed, that's the one that wins your soul. So just think for a moment, who did you feed this past week? The spiritual man or woman? Or the carnal man or woman? Who did you feed? Some people are fast, are binge feeding on things that are not drawing them closer to God, especially during this whole lockdown time in our life. Internet viewing and television viewing has gone through the roof. And it's not because a lot of people are spending their time watching spiritual things. However, in our ministry, we've seen that there has been a dramatic increase as well in people seeking out spiritual material. Praise the Lord for that. All of our viewership has gone through the roof. So that means that new people, as well as people that have been in the church for a while, are seeking something. They have a lot more time on their hands. But remember this point. Whichever man you feed, that's the one that wins the fight. Because you're nourishing that carnal man, or you're nourishing that spiritual man. Our goal is to nourish the spiritual side while we starve the carnal side. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Oh, actually, we've got to back up before that. Let's look at Romans 7:18 and 19. Paul talks about this battle going on inside. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find it not." He's saying, I know what to do. I know how to please God. I know the right choices, but I don't always do that. Can anybody relate to Paul? Or am I the only one? Reading on. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I am so thankful that God gave us a real tangible word to where I can say, Paul sounds a lot like me. And if you're an honest soul, sounds a lot like you too. Because there is that battle. If the only way that you don't even, that you're not aware that there's a battle is if you're not a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I'm a convert. I was raised in a heathen home. And I was a good little heathen. As heathens go. But when I became a Christian, I didn't even realize that there was a battle that was going to happen. I was very naive. And I didn't even think about, I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that, because I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do to please me, because that's the heathen way. But when I became a Christian, I realized that certain things are off the table. And we can't do anything and everything that we want because it might hurt us or it might hurt others beyond just the physical, but emotionally and spiritually. And so Paul here is going, yeah, there's a battle out there, but there's a battle going on in here. 2 Corinthians explains it this way. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit, the influence or the moving of the Lord. So how beautiful is this? Christ is telling us in his word that when we look at his word, when we are looking at the character of God, we get to go from glory to what? Glory. So the moment I surrender, God goes, give him some of my glory. What's his glory? His character, his spirit, amen? So the moment I come to God, glory. I don't start with deformity. I might come to Christ with deformity, but the moment I surrender, the moment I am blessed, the moment I am forgiven, boom, glory. Why? Because he gives me his spirit. That was pretty pathetic.
Amen.
That was a perfect time for a hearty amen. God, the moment we come to Christ, the moment we confess our sins, the moment we say, enough of me and all of thee, God goes, here's my grace, here's my glory, here's my character. That's good news this morning. It is to me. Notice, we start with glory with God. But I wrote this verse the opposite way. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the sinfulness of the world are changed into the same image. But notice this. When we start with the devil, or we start with self, or we start with the world, we start with deformity. Hello? That's right. We start with deformity. And guess where we go from there? More deformity. You see, when you start with self, sin, or Satan, the unholy Trinity, when you start with that, you start with deformity and you go to more deformity and more deformity. So, yeah, both sides want our choice. Both sides want our soul. One wants to take us this way, spiritually speaking, and the other wants to take us this way, spiritually speaking. Does that make sense? So it's left to us to choose whom we will obey today. As for me and my house, by God's grace, we will serve the Lord. Amen. What a privilege. So how do both sides have access to our minds? It's through the five senses. Our sight, our touch, taste, our smell, and our hearing. And we must guard carefully the avenues to the soul. Think of your soul as that citadel, the mind, the essence of who you are, and both sides are wanting to have access to your mind. Adventist Homes, page 403 says, those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices. Anybody want to fall prey to the devil? Of course not. Not here anyway. Must sort of kind of ishly guard the avenues to the soul. Is that what it says? No. Must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. And friends, when you're on the internet, if you're not careful on whatever platform you're on, whatever website you're on, there may be more than suggestions of impure thoughts. There may be the fully rendered out impure actions. Right? Your spouse may not know what you've been looking at because you clear your history, but that doesn't clear it with God, and it doesn't clear it with your own conscience. This is why you're troubled. The fact that you have a troubled conscience, by the way, is a great thing, because that means the Holy Spirit is still striving with you. The mind must not be left to dwell at random upon every subject that the enemy of souls may suggest. And this is one of the problems now with us having access to anything that we want to just in our pockets. We have these supercomputers that are connected to everything on the internet now. All of human knowledge is now accessible out of your pocket. And we have to be careful to not let our minds just randomly go here or go there. I mean, come on. How many times have you ever said, oh, whoa, I gotta get busy. And you thought you were going to sit there for 20 minutes and it had been an hour or five or more, especially during lockdown. I mean, what a great time to have a sabbatical and spend time with God and learn more of Christ, not all of the junk that was you've been looking at or listening to. The heart must be faithfully sentineled. That means guarded, or listen, evils without, which are everywhere, will awaken evils within, but the soul will be okay. No, it doesn't say that. The soul will wander in darkness. So keep in mind, as we talk about music today, and this afternoon we have two more meetings, we're going to go through and dive into some mechanics of it. And I'm not here to just rip all the music out of your life. That's not what this is about. I'm not the music pope. I will not bless or curse your music collection. Deal? But I'll give you enough information that you can make better choices, perhaps. This always happens. Okay. He's not going to win, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
That we're doing the right thing.
So here's what I've learned. What I've learned is that that's not right. When we have these kinds of issues consistently, it's because we have a message that can actually make a difference in a soul's life. Good? All right. This is the one the pastor suggested to start with. Should listen to your pastor. So the battle is for the mind. The battle's for what?
Mind.
For the mind. Why? Because the mind is the essence of who we are. It's the soul. It's you. And the devil wants to malign, and he wants to destroy, and he wants to create his character in you. But God says, no, they've chosen me, so I'm going to bless them with my character. They'll be more like me, and they're going to become foot soldiers to get more people to be like me. And we're going to give you a black eye, devil. And when you start living like that, it gets hard, but not impossible. You ever heard the amazing story of Phineas Gage? Anybody? Just a few of us. Well, we're going to go through this rapidly because it fits right into what can happen to a mind if we're not careful with it. Phineas was a 25-year-old Vermont railroad worker and eventually became a foreman. And what they would do when they were clearing the railroad, the pathway for the railroad here in America, as they do around the world, is they had the surveyors. The surveyors would say, we're going to take it right along here. We need to remove that part of the mountain so we can go here or whatever it would be. And they would drill holes deep down into the bedrock, and they would put explosive charges down in the hole. And then Phineas, as one of the actual foremen, would come around as they put some packing sand on top of it, and he would pound it into the ground, making basically high explosive. The little wire was coming out. Everybody got back, zip, and exploded, fractured the rock. They'd clear it, and they did this day in and day out, day in and day out. Phineas was a sharp guy, he was a well-liked guy, and he was a foreman, a bright young individual. And one day, there was no packing sand put into the hole. Somebody missed a step. And when he rammed that rod into that hole, it sparked and it exploded. Well, guess what it did? It took that rod and propelled it right up behind, under his cheek, took out the back of his eye and blew off a little cap right off of his forehead. And that rod shot like a missile right through his head and landed some 300 feet behind him on the ground. What's amazing was that he lived to tell about it. Incredible disruption to his life. An incredible impact to the front part of the brain.
However, he was radically changed because the front part of the brain was radically damaged. This is what his attending physician wrote. Dr. Harlow said that Gage was fitful, irreverent, indulging at times in the grossest profanity, which was not previously his custom, impatient of restraint or advice when it conflicted with his desires, a child now in his intellectual capacity and manifestations. He has the animal passions of a strong man. Previous to his injury, although untrained in the schools, he possessed a well-balanced mind. In fact, in this regard, his mind was radically changed, so decidedly that his friends and acquaintances said, he's no longer Gage. We don't even know who this guy is. So what happened was he impacted the frontal lobe of the brain where his character was contained. I wonder what part of the brain the devil is after. I wonder what part of the brain God is after. Indeed, it's the frontal lobe. In fact, 1 Testimonies 4:96, servant of the Lord writes, Satan knows what organs to excite. Is what you're looking at overexciting your brain? I can tell you right now, depending on what you're engaging in, you could be driving certain things in your brain and you're going to have a deficit and you will have a problem, especially if you're a young person. We have a brand new series. I have not released it yet. Brand new series on social media, on all of this and what it's doing inappropriately used to our society and the young brains. It's terrifying what's happening. But Satan knows what organs to excite, animate, engross, and charm the mind. Another word for that would be hypnotize the mind so that Christ is not desired. The spiritual longings of the soul for divine knowledge, for a growth in grace, are wanting. So the more time we spend with the devil and with the world, then we do not desire Christ as much. That makes sense. By beholding, we become changed. And the battle is for our mind, the frontal lobe specifically. About 30 to 35% of a human brain is frontal lobe. This is why we are moral creatures. This is our control center. It's where we solve problems. And this is the very seat of reasoning. When God says, let us come together to reason together, he's actually activating by the Holy Spirit that frontal lobe. This is how we can discern the still small voice of God and his will. This is also where we have our filter. When we're born, we have a clean mind and a clean record, if you will. We don't have a bunch of content yet. And it's up to us as parents, specifically Christian parents, to be careful and to be the filter for that new little brain and be careful with who we allow our children to associate with. Amen? And by the way the world works today, our kids, our children can associate with others, but there may not be even a person in the room with them. Because now everybody has devices. And you can associate with and have your mind influenced by the content we allow our children and ourselves to behold. Now, we're going to get a little scientific for a moment, and this will help you better understand how the filter works. In a frontal lobe that is functioning properly, there's beta waves that are present. And this indicates sound thinking, that the brain is active and it's sound in its interpretation of what's going on. And if you look at the screen, this is just a visual representation of that. So think of it as when you are in that beta brain state, your mind is actively on a higher frequency scanning all the incoming information. And at that point, it's analyzing what's coming in, and it will reject or accept the information based on our moral compass or the lack thereof. Does that make sense? So, in other words, if I was raised as a Christian, which I wasn't, but my children were, they're going to have a very different moral compass, a more in-tuned, refined moral compass, hopefully, than I did as a heathen child. So, for example, if someone, this is kind of a silly illustration, but if someone came up to me as a child and said, you know, have you ever heard of Lucifer? No. Have you ever heard of Luciferians? No. Have you heard of Satan? Yeah, I've heard of that. Don't really know what that means. Well, there's a lot of power you can have with Satan, and he wants to help you in your life. I would have been like, oh, okay. My children would have been like, get thee behind me. Right? Different filter. The parents, the church, the family, the schools, the educators are designing the filter for our children. This is one reason my wife and I chose to homeschool. I could go on about that. By the way, we're told that by sending our children to public schools, we're sending them to demoralizing circumstances where they will be trained to be experts in sin and enemies of Christ. A direct quote from Ellen White. But I can't do if you pray about this and you want to guard your child's heart, I guarantee you God will work a way to where you can educate them for Him. You know how I know? I'm living on less than a Seventh-day Adventist pastor salary, and my wife has not had to work outside the home, and we homeschooled our children all the way through high school. And if we can do it, and God can help us do that, He'll do it for you too. I'm no more special than you. We're all special in God's eyes. Amen. It's left to us to put that filter in, because when they're turned loose out in the world, you want the filter working. And you want to have put as much good information and build that filter strong so they can make better choices. There's another brain state. It's called alpha. Look at the screen. Think of it because the brain's in a much lower frequency. It's in an alpha brain state where, this is critical, the incoming information is directly deposited into the memory without interpretation. And guess what the devil's figured out how to do? Through our entertainment, through drugs, through other substances, through lots of different ways, the devil has learned to put the brain into alpha while he trains us to be enemies of Christ. And you wonder why God feels so far away. Neurologist Dr. Paul McLean wrote concerning another part of the brain called the limbic lobes. The limbic lobes regulate the emotions concerned with the four primal, and I don't think that we're primates or we are from animal ancestry. I believe that we are created by God, so we'll say base instincts. The limbic lobes regulate the emotions concerned with the four base instincts, and those four base instincts are fight, flight, feed, and fornicate. And basically, the idea is at any given moment in our life, when we are ministering to these four base needs, it's going to fall into one of these four categories. What's interesting is, he says, the limbic system as a whole appears to be the primary seat of emotionally charged of attention, emotion, and emotionally charged memories. Now, basically, it's that seat of that emotion and emotionally charged memories. Now, I was raised in a bad home. My mother had divorced my father, who was an alcoholic and a drug user, and we had moved 13 times back and forth across this country before I was 7 years old. And we were poor. We didn't have anything because Dad didn't show up for work, and we got kicked out of place after place we were living. Then my mother finally divorced him, and she married a man that was the devil's right-hand guy. And he beat us, and he tortured us for 10 years. Do you think, as a child, I had a lot of emotionally charged memories? A trainload. And this can happen in the mind of people. And I see it all the time. People call our ministry all the time. A large part of our ministry is on the phone and email and texting and helping people through challenges and trials because we've been there and God has done some amazing things for us and we've learned a few things. But I had so much emotionally charged memories, and I didn't understand why I was reacting the way I was, even as a young adult or even as an adult now. Until I started to understand that I didn't have a filter where I was rejecting the things, and so I would allow stuff to come in that would trigger that part of the brain, and before you know it, I was back at that place being that abused child, and then I would get angry and I would deal with somebody in an inappropriate way. And so what we don't want is we don't want certain parts of the brain, like the limbic system, to just play and wreak havoc without being governed by something. And the frontal lobe governs the rest of the brain. So what we want to do is we always want to keep that frontal lobe active when we are consuming any sort of item with our five senses. Does that make sense? Why? Because it'll draw us closer to God or closer to the devil. There's no middle ground. That's it. There's only two choices. God, devil. And whatever we're engaged in, we're being pulled more this way or we're being pulled more this way. And if we're not careful, we could get into a brain state to where we act more animalistic with our base passions. And we're like, what's wrong with my kid? Or what's wrong with my spouse? They're not even who they used to be. You can start to evaluate what dog is being fed. Because that's the one that's winning. Is this making any sense? Modern science has proven that illegal drugs damage the frontal lobe. Anybody want to argue that one with me? Nope. All of us will say, we understand. Drugs, illicit drugs, illegal drugs, street drugs, even some prescription drugs, damage the frontal lobe. This is why when somebody's on drugs, they're doing things that are crazy and what they wouldn't normally do when they're in their right mind. Alcohol damages the frontal lobe. Anybody want to argue that with me? Nope. We all know that. In fact, we love it when people get up and give testimonies of, I was an alcoholic. We don't love that they were alcoholic, but we love the fact that they're giving a testimony saying, this is where I was. I surrendered to God, and God, not that God ever lost me, but God found me is how we say it. No, God always knew where you were. You just finally acknowledged God, right? And he changed my life, and I've been free from this drug, or I've been free from the alcohol. And we all go, praise the Lord. But some Christians don't like it when I say that nicotine damages the frontal lobe. Nicotine damages the frontal lobe. And here's one that a lot of people want to argue with me. You know what? Go look at the science. Don't argue with me. I'm tired of arguing. I don't do it anymore. Caffeine. Where's that microphone? Caffeine. And by the way, caffeine, the next item on the list, caffeine damages and hinders the frontal lobe. And the next one, by the way, caffeine, it impacts our frontal lobe. You want to know something amazing? Amazing. I kind of used myself as a lab rat. And I was like, come on. I read the science, but I'm like, it can't be that big of a deal. And so I went back on caffeine for a little bit. Don't pray for me, I know. Yeah. And indeed, I will tell you, I could tell the difference. And I'd drink some on that day, and the next day I wouldn't. And then I'd drink some, and then I wouldn't. And the days when I had the caffeine, I was irritable, I was grumpy, and sometimes even profane. Just because of caffeine. Oh, brother, give me a break, Brother Christian. Are you kidding me? Just your attitude says get off the caffeine. Certain modern movies impact the frontal lobe. Certain TV programs can impact the frontal lobe. In fact, it's the way that they're put together with the soundtrack as well. You have what's called a rapid scene of reference change. And I've been in the TV film industry for 30-something years. And when I was a new editor, I was editing 30 and 60 second commercials. And you have to edit real fast and rapid. Most commercials are bam, 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 with the music going. And they are designed to put you in alpha. They're designed for you to impress you to go and buy those shoes or that car. And you don't even understand why you are. We're just dumping that information into your head. And when you go and see it again, it triggers. And you go, oh yeah, I do like that. Well, you didn't develop that. We just told you that you like that. Because we put you in alpha and poured that information over and over and over again. You've been manipulated. And I used to be a manipulator with television. And that rapid scene of reference change can happen in movies as well. Depending on what kind of movie it is and how fast it's being edited, what happens is the brain goes, okay, and it starts off and it's tracking with the story and it's going along and it's making sense. And then all of a sudden it'll start rapid cuts, the music comes in, it starts to impact the frontal lobe, and sometimes you'll sit there for 2 solid hours going like this. And then the drool just starts to come out. Oh, I really need to go to the restroom. You know, I'm kind of hungry. Honey? And you're just like, can you take out the trash? Huh? You take out the trash? Yeah. Why? What's going on? Not every time when we're watching that's how it feels or whatever. It's an illustration, but you've probably all been there. Because I know I have. What's going on? What's going on is you're being put in alpha, and whatever the content of that program is going in, and it's changing you. How much are you feeding the spiritual man? Or are you feeding the carnal man? And you wonder why God seems so far away. Certain types of gaming absolutely wreaks havoc with the frontal lobe. Certain types of internet activities as well. And, of course, certain types of music. Notice I put the word certain in front of those last five. Certain modern movies, certain TV programs, certain types of gaming, certain types of internet activities, and certain types of music. It doesn't mean that all of those are problematic, but most are. And now we come to that frontal lobe. We're going to get even more specific now. The front part of the front part of the brain, otherwise known scientifically as the prefrontal cortex. That just means the front part of the front part of the brain. And what's interesting is heathen science calls it the crown of the brain. Indeed, it's the crown because this is where our character is, where our spirituality resides, where our discernment is activated, where our moral compass is. This is where the will to serve or the will to live is even contained. This is where we choose, where we obey, and where we worship. Do you think it's important to protect that part of the brain? Absolutely, because it's who you are. It's everything. The Bible talks a lot about the prefrontal cortex. In fact, here's how it works. Everything that we have ever been engaged in, we've ever done since consciousness came into our amazing minds, everything we've ever smelled, we've ever tasted, everything we've ever seen, we've ever heard, everything we've ever touched, all of it has been perfectly recorded. All of it. Your experiences through the five senses. In fact, right now, you will have me in your head for the rest of your life. And that could be a good thing if the information is from God. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm not putting you in alpha and just going drink, drink, drink. No, I want you to think about what we're talking about. Let the Holy Spirit impress your mind and bring conviction and change. Amen. Everything we've experienced. In fact, right now, this experience is perfectly recorded. Your visual cortex is activated. It has what we call in the production world an isocorder. In other words, an isolated recorder for that channel of information. And so, right now, everything you're seeing is being recorded. Everything you're hearing is being recorded. But beyond that, you're interpreting the information that's being recorded. How do you feel right now? Are you cold? Are you hot? Until I brought it into your consciousness, you don't even know. But now you're aware of it. Is the back pressure okay in these comfy pews? I don't know, are they? But all of that is actually being recorded because you have an opus of a mind that God gave you. Be careful what you do with it. Be careful what you let in. It's left to you. God's not going to take that thing out of your hand. God's not going to take that out of your field of view. It's you working with the Holy Spirit, and together you have victory to say, I don't want that. Amen? It's not your own power. It's the Holy Spirit living inside you. Christ blessing you with His Spirit. Solomon said in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in himself, so is he. Whatever you chew on, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're consuming or listening to, that's who you become. Be careful of the news you're watching. I know. We all want to know what's going on in the world. And we're not just getting the highlights, but we're listening to all these opinion shows, and our country's being divided right in half because of a bunch of opinion not based on any sort of reality. And you call it news. No, it's entertainment. It's designed to do what it's actually doing, and it's causing polarization. And by the way, social media and Google search engines and all of this are optimized to divide us. Whole nother subject. Invite me back, I'll blow your brains. Right now I'm just going, and I'm going, I almost want to like get rid of all my devices. In Newsweek, there's an interesting article back in 2000. They had an entire write-up with different references and scientific studies. They said, scientists are finding that the human brain is pre-wired for music. Actually, that would indicate creation, if you ask me. The temporal lobes of the brain just behind the ears act as the music center. The brain seems to be a sponge for music, and like a sponge in water, it's changed by it. In fact, there's actual neurological, tangible, physical change based on what we watch and what we listen to in that brain. You can create a beautiful, symmetrical brain that's well-balanced, or you can create an absolute chaotic brain that has unusual branching and atrophy or shrinkage of the brain just by what you put into it. I don't think I have time. Nobody told me when I'm stopping, by the way. I don't have a clock. Nobody's telling me anything. So if someone wants to tell me how much time I have left, otherwise, get comfortable. All right. You know what? Let's just go through this real quick. Now, understand, this is a high school science fair project. This is not high science, and I've been criticized for even sharing this. Oh, yeah, Christian talks about the mice. For this amount of time in a 12-hour seminar, and they focus in on this. But I'm sharing it as an illustration, because after this was done, different scientific communities repeated the same exact experiment and had the same results. Merrill got 72, this is just a young, I think it was 16 or 17-year-old. David Merrill got 72 mice and divided them into three groups. One to test a mouse's response to hard rock, another to the music of Mozart, and a control group that wouldn't listen to any music at all, rock or classical. The young visionary got all the mice accustomed to living in aquariums in his basement, then started playing music about 10 hours a day. Merrill put each mouse through a maze three times a week that originally had taken the mice an average of 10 minutes to complete. So he creates this little maze. He opens a little door. Ooh, ooh, they smell the cheese, and they go around. They get, oh, I got to come over here. Nope, I got blocked here. Oh, and it took them about 10 minutes to get to the other side to get that little reward. Over time, the 24 control group mice managed to cut about 5 minutes from their maze completion time. So they got twice as fast. It only took half the time to get through the maze because they started learning the route. They didn't always get it right, but they were twice as fast. That's pretty impressive. In fact, when you practice something, you should get more efficient at it if your brain is functioning properly. Amen? Here's something fascinating. The Mozart listening mice cut their time back 8.5 minutes. From 10 minutes to 1.5 minutes. Why? Because they started playing violin? No, because the music they were listening to over that 10 hours a day, I don't listen to 10 hours a day, your young people do, but the reality is it helped order their thought processes in little tiny mice brains to get through that maze in only a minute and a half, better than the ones that didn't even listen to music, because it orders the brain. It helps you to think. Did you know what's interesting? Most young people that have had classical music training are in the sciences. Have you ever noticed that? They're doctors, they're engineers, they're Cisco engineers, they're all these different people because their brains are able to figure out that abstract problem. There's a direct correlation. If you want to give your children and yourself an edge up, start playing some beautiful classical music. Just tuck it away even just in this corner of your office while you're working. Go look up the Mozart effect online. That's something that I'll give you permission to go look at. Look at this. But the hard rock mice added 20 minutes to their time. What? Making their average mage running time 300% more than their own original average. Okay, so the control mice cut their half in time. The Mozart listening mice, of course, much more sophisticated. They go through it in a minute and a half. But the hard rock mice, they're like, dude, I don't even know what the cheese is, bro. They're sitting there going, yeah. And they can't even find it. Three times as long for little mice with little brains. What's it doing to us? This is, by the way, an article written in the Associated Press. This is not my reporting. This is written up in a win around the world on the Associated Press. Need we say more? Well, maybe we do. Mero told the Associated Press that he had attempted the experiment the year before, allowing mice in the different groups to live together. Quote, I had to cut my project short because all the hard rock mice killed each other. Mero said, none of the classical mice did that. You know what? I think I need to try to push some sort of bill through that says in every prison, only play classical beautiful music. How about every classroom? How about every house? How about every car? We could change society with just putting that kind of music in. In fact, in New Zealand, they were having a problem in Christchurch. I've been there several times. Love the place. They were having a problem with loitering and these skaters in the area, and they couldn't get rid of them, even if there was police present. Eventually, when the police just couldn't be there all the time, and then they would come back, and they were skating, and they were tagging stuff, and they were just making that center square a problem. They called in multiple different companies with different ideas. One company that's on the cutting edge came in and said, we can solve it for you inside of a month. What? Just change the music you're playing at the square. Huh? Put in classical music. That'll be $10,000. Thank you. You want to know what? It fixed it. They were not drawn to it. They didn't want to do it. And the desire for doing things that were inappropriate was actually leaving them. Praise God. Jimi Hendrix, a wildly popular psychedelic leader, a leader of a psychedelic rock band and a virtuoso on the guitar back in the 60s, he said this. He didn't even know how accurate he was scientifically. You can hypnotize people with music. Alpha. When you get them at their weakest point, which is alpha, you can preach into their subconscious what we want to say. He was right, and he still is. We'll play the music, we'll numb your brain, and we will change your character. And you'll just think it's entertainment, and you'll love what I'm doing. In fact, you'll even sometimes worship me. Dr. Daniels and Bernadette Skubick, their studies have proven that any music that contains low pounding frequencies, like the ones that we hear at airports or construction sites, is considered to be a brain drain. Rock, hip hop, pop music falls into this category because of the driving bass guitar and other low pounding sounds. Dr. Alfred Tomata's work shows music that contains high frequencies helps the brain to recharge. The higher the frequency, the more the brain is recharged. On the way here, I was listening to classical music. Do you know why? I got 3 hours sleep last night because my wife was suffering with health issues. I was exhausted. I put on classical music. I was praying to the Lord, and I was just praising God. I got here more refreshed than when I woke up. The music of Mozart, for example, contains more of these frequencies than other composers. Does music affect man's physical body? Musicologist David Tame said in his book, The Secret Power of Music, quote, there is scarcely a single function of the body which cannot be affected by musical tones. The roots of the auditory nerves are more widely distributed and possess more extensive connections than those of any other nerve in the body. Why would the auditory system be so widely spread? I believe it's because we serve a musical God. I believe heaven is music, and I believe that we're going to join that chorus someday. And when we're singing in that choir, we're going to have not only this beautiful spiritual experience, but our nerves are going to light up, and we're going to feel that music in the way that God originally had intended us to experience it. What we've done is we've perverted it, and we are causing problems in the brain. Investigation has shown that music affects digestion, internal secretion, circulation, nutrition, and respiration. Even the neural networks of the brain have been found to be sensitive to music, or we would say harmonic principles. We know that music can raise or lower blood pressure. Did you know that? If you're having a blood pressure problem, if you need to lower your blood pressure, just listening to a different kind of music can lower it. And you can still have your brain intact. It helps those that suffer with mental illness. And some studies reveal it can cause some mental illness. It helps those with depression, or it can cause depression. It can help those that suffer from retardation to function sometimes up to 20% higher, depending on what type of music they're listening to. It can help those that suffer from insomnia or cause insomnia. It can change our metabolism, speed it up or slow it down. It can affect muscular energy. It can influence our digestion. And musicologist Julius Portnoy says it may be able to do all of these things more successfully than any other stimulants, that's another word for drugs, that produce those changes in our bodies. There are people now that are studied into the power of music. They have degrees in this now to where you can take people off of medications and get them on the right kind of music, and they have success better than the drug. Don't have time to get into this, unfortunately. I'll just do this quickly. Frederick Chopin was a 10-year-old, the ripe old age of 10. He's a 10-year-old pianist and composer. He would be summoned to play for Grand Duke Constantine, governor of Poland. And his music would control his seizures. He would call for, the cure would last for a time, then he would call for young Chopin again when the musical medicine wore off. Reminds me of a Bible story. There's a certain king who had mental issues, King Saul. And who did he call to help soothe his mind? David the hard rocker, that's right. David the hip-hop artist. No, he called David the psalmist because David played a kind of music that soothed the king's mental problems. Is music powerful? Yeah, and you know what? Because I'm asking and calling God's people to simply come back to reverent worship, especially in God's house, and to reject the things that smell of the world and drive us further away from God. Because I'm talking about these things, I have been called the most effective agent of Satan in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why? Because I'm simply saying, guys, everything that's called Christian isn't. And the devil, he's not trying to pull you out of church anymore. The devil just comes to many churches now. In the worship of God. Revelation, let's go. We're going to wrap up now with a couple Bible verses. At the end of time, there's going to be two groups of people. Those who love God and those who don't. That's it. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. There's two types of people. And you want to know what? They have two types of brains. Let's look at one group in Revelation 14, 9 and 10. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, where? In his prefrontal cortex. The Bible simply called it the forehead. But we're more educated now and we have more understanding of the brain. God always knew, because he was the designer, the forehead is where we worship. The forehead is where we discern. It's where the filter is. It's where we choose. It's where we reject. It's where we accept. And so when it says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, that's what they're doing, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So, in other words, not everything we're engaged in is going to be copacetic with God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, we have one group here that have been drinking the wine of Babylon through their five senses. Amen? This is how we drink the wine of Babylon. This is how we are changed, because we're consuming all of this, not just with our eyes or our ears, but with everything we're experiencing. And if we are feeding the spiritual man, he'll win. Or if we're feeding the carnal man, then the same shall drink of the wine of wrath of God. But then there's another group. There's another group in Revelation 14 that says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written where? In their prefrontal cortexes. Wait a second. What's written in their foreheads? The Father's name. The Father's name is a transcript of his character. Yeah, you got it. Think about that. One group has the character of the devil, and they've received the mark of the beast. The other group, who I want to be a part of. And I know when I say, I don't want to just be saved. It's not that hard to be saved. Seriously. I want to be one of the 144,000 that vindicates the character of God. And how do we do that? We receive the Father's character in our foreheads. Amen. We become more like him, so we do reject that evil through his strength and power and my effort. Oh, you're working way to heaven. In a sense, you better believe it. Amen. Because God's not going to take the booze out of your hand. God's not going to switch that website you're looking at with people that don't have their clothing on doing all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing for you to watch. He's not going to take it out of your hand. You have to choose. Otherwise, he'd be forcing your will, and God doesn't do that, remember? So we have another group of people. One has the name of their father, the devil. Another one, a group, has the name of their father, God. So the battle is for the mind. Ellen White, by the way, talks about the forehead of Satan. This is crazy to me. Early writings, page 146. Satan was once an honored angel in heaven next to Christ. Oh, how far he has fallen. His countenance, like those of the other angels, was mild and expressive of happiness. Can you imagine? The devil used to be happy. His forehead was how? High and broad, showing great intelligence. Take note. Forehead, high and broad, showing great intelligence. In other words, his prefrontal cortex, his forehead, right between the frontlets of his eyes, was pumping with the Holy Spirit. He was being moved by God. Amen? His form was perfect, his bearing noble and majestic. I was shown Satan as he once was, a happy, exalted angel. Then I was shown him as he is now. He still bears a kingly form. His features are still noble, for he's a fallen angel. But the expression of his countenance, is full of anxiety. If by the way, if you desire any of these things, follow Satan. Because you'll have his character. Listen, because here's what he's experiencing. His countenance is full of anxiety, care, unhappiness, malice, hate, mischief, deceit, and every evil. That's your future with the devil. That brow, which was once so noble, I particularly noticed, she says. His forehead commenced from his eyes to recede. I saw that he had so long bent himself to evil that every good quality was debased and every evil trait was developed. So before, high and broad, showing great intelligence, connected to God. He had so trained his brain that now his forehead's not high and broad, it's slanted back like this. What's going on? I believe, based on the science that I understand now, that I have discovered and read, you can cause severe atrophy or shrinkage of your frontal lobe based on what you're thinking on, based on what you're putting in. The devil gave himself a frontal lobectomy. He has no conscience. He has no moral compass. The facility for that has been eradicated. He is the devil, and he wants you to be just like him. His eyes were cunning and sly and showed great penetration. A smile was upon his countenance, which made me tremble. It was so full of evil and satanic slyness. And this smile is the one he wears just before he makes sure of his victim. And as he fastens the victim in his snare, this smile grows horrible. I've got him. Especially the Adventists, because they think they got the day right, and therefore it's all good. They're the Bible-believing, and they do have the day right, by the way. They do have the day right. They understand the 10 laws, the moral laws. They understand certain things, but then we go home, and we're more like Babylonians for 6 days a week. So why hasn't Jesus come with us? And we'll close here. We got just a couple slides left. Why hasn't Jesus come for us? Why? Look around. It's really bad. But he's tarrying. Why is he waiting? Because he's waiting for you and me. He's merciful, and he's waiting for us. Here it is. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he that cried with a loud voice to... I got to back it up. Sorry. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, wait, hurt not the sea, the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. Why? Until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. It is about the brain. God is waiting for you and for me to say, not my will, Lord. I'm done with me and I want more of thee. I want you to take my mind and to shape it and renew it. You've promised that you would do this. And God is looking for a people who's going to stay and say, I will stand for God. And that means I'll make the changes you call me to make. I'll forsake the things I should forsake. I'm not going to just play church anymore. I'm not going to show up with the right costume. I'm not going to show up with the right props. I'm not going to show up just on the right day. Because, friends, that all means nothing if you don't have a vital connection with Jesus Christ. It means nothing. We know that because Jesus said, I don't know you, depart from me. Wait a minute, didn't we do great works in your name and prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? I never knew you. You knew the world, but you didn't know me. Depart from me. That's serious stuff. But greater is he who is in us, if we let him in, than he was in the world. We're going to skip through this. Remember, there is a very real war going on for us. And a very real war going on inside of each one of us. There's the carnal man fighting against the spiritual man, and the spiritual man fighting against the carnal man. And whichever one gets fed by the five senses with anything that we allow in, we're feeding one or the other, and the one that's being fed is going to win your soul. That's not the last slide I thought we were going to. But God has said that he will transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we might be able to actually reflect God's will here on this earth. Is that going to be you today? It's a choice. Are you going to be part of the group that says, I'm protecting my mind by God's grace? I'm going to only allow in that pleases God, that which pleases God. And I will set my face as a flint against anything that's against God. That's real. That's warfare. And friends, look around. I believe the second coming of Christ is imminent. And it's not time to play. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And feed the spiritual man. God bless you, and may your names remain in the book of life.
I'd rather
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you our will. Father, forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness and fill us with your character. May our foreheads be filled with your character. Lord, we ask that you would work this miracle by renewing our minds and transforming our characters so that we might vindicate Christ's name, your name, to the universe. This is bigger than us, Lord. This is about you. And so, Father, I pray that whatever caused us to stumble and fall, that you would help us to either navigate around those things or right over them or right through them, through your strength and through your power, through your grace. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we leave this place, Father, and I give you permission to change whatever in me that doesn't please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and may your names remain in the book of life.